You're listening to An Introduction to the Catholic Life.
And welcome to An Introduction to the Catholic Life. We've got the full team with us today and we are recording on Ash Wednesday, so we're all feeling quite penitential. We've been fasting or starting the season of Lent as well, and that is right enough going to be the topic of discussion on today's podcast. But first of all, how are you all doing, gentlemen?
Fabulous.
I feel amazing.
Yeah.
I've got oil on my head.
As soon as we came in, Sean was standing there like, by the way, do you know I'm fasting today? He's standing in the street corner saying his prayers when I came in the car.
Yeah. I went for like soup across the road, and this woman was like, oh, right, you're going to have to tell us what's happening today.
Really?
And I was like, it's Ash Wednesday. But I don't know. I seen a tweet that said, how do these people all know what Pancake Tuesday is? But they don't know what Ash Wednesday is.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
I was in a meeting at work yesterday, and they were all talking about the fact that it was Pancake Tuesday, and they were all going back to have pancakes. And it was in the corporate diary, and nothing about Ash Wednesday. It's just funny, isn't it?
I think it's actually more popular with like secular people than it is with Catholics. Like, did you have pancakes yesterday? I tried.
Oh, you tried. James made an omelette when he was trying to make a pancake.
It was like all soggy on the inside, and I got absolutely raging because I just hadn't done it properly, so I just patched it.
But it's a thought that counts.
Yeah, I tried my best.
Probably go to Tesco next time.
But I suppose you can't really commercialise ash on your head. Commercialise pancakes.
We could do it. That could be an endeavour of ours, actually.
Catholic men's ash.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, I don't know, like face masks.
Great, I love it.
You could just sell stencils for priests.
I kind of wish I had a stencil today. Mine was it's not the best ash I've had.
I was quite fortunate, actually. Mine's quite
a good one.
Yours is still there.
Pronounced, yeah. It's made it through the day as well.
Well, Rudy reapplied his at 5 o'clock.
Actually, at early intervals.
Oh, okay.
Just to make sure that, again, people knew that I was fasting.
That's good.
But no, actually, it's funny. You always get people asking about it. What's the mark on your forehead?
What's that?
What do you do to your head? So they're always... it's always a conversation starter, which is quite good, because often you can't really pick out Catholics from a crowd, I suppose. It's not, you don't necessarily carry a visible sign with you all the time. So it's a good opportunity, if nothing else, to answer a few questions and to have some interesting conversations, for sure.
So one of the nice things about Ash Wednesday, like, actually see Catholics around, you know, the odd one you see. Like, I was coming back from school and got on the subway, and a young woman came on with the ashes on, and I was like, you feel like you've kind of like looking over, like, I'm a Catholic too.
Yeah. Do you sort of nod in their direction, sort of, when you walk past them? I find myself doing that in the city centre.
No, I was fasting, so I was too busy being gloomy.
Ah, of course, right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I was the same. Got in the bus and seen a woman. I was like, oh, another Catholic. That's nice.
You sat next to
him. That makes two of
them. James made lots of friends today.
Hi, are you a Catholic as well? It's like, no, it's a birthmark.
That was unusual for me. That was the first time it's been Ash Wednesday and I've been in a job where I've not been working for the church.
That's interesting.
That's a different fact about me, a new fact about me since episode 1 or series 1. Anyway,
Sean's a wee bit tired. He's not had enough food.
It's been a long day.
He's been fasting all day.
He's been out in the street corner
with the scriptures.
So one of the things that came to mind when it came back round to Lent this year was a homily that I heard last year at Lent, just down at the cathedral in St Andrews, and it was by Father Walsh actually, and he was talking about our hearts and what we kind of fill them with. And I remember it was quite interesting. He was talking about, you know, what is it we set our hearts on? You know, what is it we think about? What is it we consider most important? What do we dream about? All this sort of stuff. And he said, because, you know, your heart does have a limited capacity. You know, we can't infinitely have, you know, desires for absolutely everything. We can't desire absolutely things of the world and absolutely holiness. You know, we need to set our hearts on the right thing. And he was talking about, particularly in the season of Lent, it's a time to look at what we do set ourselves, you know, as our main priority in life, and to evaluate, well, is that right? Is that rightly ordered? And Lent is a kind of time where we kind of remove all the extras, all the distractions, all the things that might be not directly leading us away from God, but certainly hindering us and moving towards Him further. And I always remember, you know, that kind of idea, you know, when he said it, you know, what is it we think about all the time? At the time, I thought about FIFA all the time. I played, like, a lot of FIFA last year. And, I just, you know, it was a silly kind of thought that was going through my head, but I was like, I actually do think about FIFA, like, a lot more than I should. You know, what should I be thinking about most? What should I be aspiring to most? And it obviously should have been holiness. So I became perfectly holy last Lent. I just thought about holy things all the time.
Same again today. Starting today.
But it is that time of year, you know, where we do get to reevaluate things and reprioritize, and, you know, particularly in this kind of penitential time, we can move away from those distractions and move kind of ever closer towards God, and we need that. We need that. It's kind of, I was just reading a wee bit in the Catechism about the fact that we operate liturgically, you know, it fits very well our human condition, which is, you know, prone to forgetfulness, and, you know, we can often go down the wrong path and pursue the wrong things for some amount of time, but that kind of liturgical rhythm of getting back to God, you know, this one season a year where we just really get back to basics, yeah. It's a really healthy one for us.
I think that idea of right order is a really good one to think about during Lent. You know, the idea that it's not just enough to live the Catholic life, to go to Mass on Sunday, to say your prayers, but actually your whole life has to be ordered in a certain way, which is, you know, has a hierarchy, and God has to be at the top of that. And I think if we're truthful with ourselves, often God isn't at the top. And so we need to kind of, Lent is that period of time where we can try to make sure that our life is more focused. And then this kind of idea of work, you know, working in schools around Lent, you see that a lot of the kind of excitement around Lent is about being able to, you know, well, I'm giving up crisps, or I'm giving up chocolate, I'm giving up, you know, which is good. But I guess the thing is, like, that's worthless if it's not done in the kind of mindset of Lent, if it's not done as a kind of Lenten sacrifice, if it's not accompanied with or kind of assisted by the whole kind of outlook on, I'm going to reform my life to make myself more, you know, correctly ordered towards God. I think that's the thing, isn't it? It can become kind of tokenistic.
I think you often find that you can perhaps lose sight of half of the picture. You might often be asked at the beginning of Lent, or in the days coming up to Lent, what are you giving up for Lent? And the question is entirely wrong, but it's missing half the picture, because Lent is not just a matter of not doing something, it's also a question of what we are doing as well. We have those opportunities to do as well as to abstain in a manner which is befitting of worship of God, of right order, correct order in life, as you guys were saying. That can be something as simple as getting up half an hour earlier in the morning, for instance, to make sure that our prayer life is correctly ordered before we set it into the day. It could be something quite simple, but it's important to remember, I think, that Lent is not just a matter of giving things up, it's also a matter of taking things on, or picking things up too.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it. And I was reading earlier on, just for preparation, the original idea of Lent was a preparation for baptism, which still goes on today for, you know, adults who are going to be baptized on Easter Vigil. And this was like an extra period. They'd already prepared, but this is an extra period of preparation for them. And the idea behind it is to conform themselves to Christ. So you're talking about right order, but it was this idea of like conforming yourself mm-hmm. to Christ, to become more like Christ. And so it was for those people, but then the church took it up as a thing, and it is now for all of us to be more like Christ. And it goes back to scripture, when Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. And I was just having a look at it. He was, you know, tempted with bread first. He was fasting. He was tempted with the world. And then he was tempted with a temptation against God. That was the final one. You know, throw yourself off here. You know, God will save you. And so there's those three temptations, but they reflect what we should be doing in Lent, I think. And people always talk about prayer, fasting and almsgiving as those three things that we should be doing, and I think they reflect those temptations, and there's so much that comes with that. If you're giving up something, then it's about dealing with yourself, dealing with temptations when they do come along at other times in your life. So there's so much of it that is about conforming yourself to Christ, and it's this kind of real period of preparation for the Easter Vigil when we make our baptismal promises again. It's that kind of we always relive things in the church. Is that kind of bringing to the forefront of your mind what's important.
Mm-hmm. The journey throughout Lent almost sort of mirrors or matches the journey from death to eternal life as well. I always find it so striking when the priest places the ashes on your forehead. You're told, of course, remember man thou art but dust, and to dust thou shalt return. Mirroring, of course, the words God spoke to Adam, referencing, of course, man's sin, his fallen state, his fallen nature, his heading toward death, But, of course, at the same time, after those 40 days, we come to the vigil, baptism, eternal life, what we were talking about really in the last podcast, and that's something which is so, so striking. When you begin your Lenten journey with those words, remember man thou art but dust, and to dust thou shalt return, you know full well where the journey begins, but equally, and this is a great comfort, you know how the journey ends as well, which is something quite special.
Mm-hmm. And beginning Lent with those words, it kind of puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? That, you know, remember that you're just dust. These things that you're focusing on in your life, these things that are taking up your time when you should be, you know, conforming yourself to Christ, as you said, these things are, you know, going to pass, but ultimately the only thing that's important in life is your holiness, or your increasing holiness and your sanctification. And it's always, I think that's really powerful. I mean, I think the other option is for the priest to say is repent and believe in the gospel.
Yeah.
Which is the same kind of thing. But I think I always like the kind of more traditional option, because it's that kind of, you know.
It's very evocative, and it picks up on a few strands which we find in the Old Testament. Again, the Jewish faith of 2,000 years ago would have picked up on this as well. We hear the prophet Jeremiah, for instance, say, O daughter of my people, gird on sackcloth, roll in the ashes. Daniel likewise returned to the Lord God, pleading in earnest prayer with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. This is a theme, an image which we find several times in the Old Testament. There's a reason why the church picks up that same strand and urges her children to conversion, to repentance, and ultimately to the centre of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm. I actually feel like I got a bit spoiled today, because I actually got both, both the old and the new. I got remember you are ashes, and to ashes you shall return, and repent and believe in the gospel.
Did he say both of them too?
He said both, yeah.
That just says or, but...
he just thought, you know what, I'm going to
do just
both.
Go twice?
Did he say or as well?
Say the black and do the black.
I guess that's a way to keep everyone happy, you know, everyone's happy then.
Well, I wasn't complaining. But I mean, it does, you know, when we hear these things, we remember that Lent is a means to an end and not an end in itself, which is what it is like, I think, for, you know, kind of our kind of secular contemporaries, where, you know, they would go off chocolate simply for the sake of saying, oh, I can do this, I can go off chocolate.
Or to lose weight, these sorts of things. Yeah, yeah.
You know, a kind of self-help season. But mm-hmm. actually, you know, when we think about Lent, you know, we fast, we give alms, we pray more. Not because well, they are good things in of themselves, but they lead us towards God. I was listening to a video not too long ago. It was one of Father Mike Schmidt's video, actually, and he was talking about, it was talking about first fruits and you know, giving your best and first works to God. And one of the wee interesting things that he mentioned, it's just kind of stuck with me, was that he said the word priorities is actually a very new word, as far as, like, you know, the English language is concerned anyway. The word was always priority. There was no plural of that word until quite recently. And, you know, it's quite interesting that, you know, as the world has become more complex and people have more things going on in their lives, that word priority did develop into a plural thing, you know. But Lent is a time where we kind of refocus, as I said earlier on, you know, back onto our priority. No plural, you know, we're taking out the extra things which make that term plural in our lives, and back to that, back to conversion, which we're always called to.
The image of Lent as a season in which we enter into the desert with our Lord is, I think, one of the most beautiful, because we think, obviously, of the, when he went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he was preparing for his public ministry. And this, you know, this idea of that in order to prepare well, we should retreat from the cares of the world to a certain extent, you know, appropriate to our life and state, and focus on our Lord and accompany, you know, be there with him. He's with us as we take on this Lenten journey until we aim towards the resurrection to the Easter vigil. And I also think the images you see, icons and paintings and or tradition in the East as well, of our Lord in the desert himself and lonely, and this kind of constant dialogue with God the Father is something which is just profoundly beautiful.
It's perhaps something which is particularly pertinent to those of us who live in cities, Glasgow or even bigger than Glasgow. You find that your life doesn't necessarily revolve around spiritual habits and so forth, but rather than around the sort of the 9-to-5 schedule, commuting and so on and so forth, and the noise and hubbub of the city. That's a bit of a problem. It really does interrupt the spiritual life and the rhythm of your prayer life, your devotional life. What is Lent but a time to ensure that we are as austere as possible when it comes to the myriad distractions which we find in working life, in our studies perhaps, or even in our personal interactions with other people, be they colleagues, friends, neighbours. It really doesn't matter. It's a time of austerity, and it's a due time of austerity, and this is only something which we come to appreciate perhaps the longer Lent goes on. I think you do eventually find yourself establishing some sort of rhythm. Once you sort of made your way through 2 or 3 weeks of Lent, you become quite accustomed to that more austere spiritual life, those more austere habits, and that's something which is particularly encouraging, I find.
I was reading a wee bit more about the practical side of it, and it was suggested that you need a plan. And, you know, and I was trying to plan out myself what I was wanting to do, you know, in terms of changing my prayer life and things like that. And that's one of the barriers that I had. I was like, so what am I actually going to, you know, when am I going to fit this in? When is, you know, what is feasible in terms of what your life's like now? So that when you really have, I mean, you need to go into Lent with an idea, with a bit of thought into what's feasible, what is doable, because if you take too much on, then you end up failing and quite quickly you end up doing nothing. So I think you definitely need a bit more of a plan nowadays in terms of what you're going to be doing. But I had a look at something that was, you know, an idea of what you should be giving up, and it was saying you should think about something which is a barrier in your life to God, like your FIFA kind of thing. But it was, the idea behind it was something that you should aim to give up in general, and that you should give up during Lent. You should give up something during, you know, it's part of the fast, and you should give up something which you could take back on. So it's an extra mortification, some sort of prayer addition to your prayer life, something that's going to bring you spiritually closer to God, and then almsgiving. But it was that kind of extra slant on the fasting, you know, what that thought of what's keeping you back from, a holy life, and then also add some kind of penance in there as well for yourself. So
I mean, I suppose we want to reap the benefits of this liturgical season all year round, so that's exactly it. I mean, it's not, I suppose, we'd kind of defeat the spirit of Lent if we got to Easter Sunday and we just went absolutely, which, admittedly,
we did.
But the ideal, I suppose, is to keep some of that spirit, you know, within us, and those kind of habits, those good spiritual habits, those virtues that we've cultivated over the time of Lent, we can actually continue to have them. And I mean, I suppose it goes back to, as well, you know, the wisdom of the church in having liturgical seasons, because it knows that by the time, you know, a year has passed, we might have, you know, depleted that bank of virtue that we built up during Lent, and so we can start to kind of rebuild that again. I'm pleased to say that FIFA doesn't have such a strong grip over me now as it did back then. So,
well, this is it, isn't it? Lent is a school or an education in prayer and devotion, isn't it? But much like any other lesson, the idea is that you take those lessons to onto the next sort of chapter of your life. It's not something which you forget. The same is true with perfectly ordinary education. What we learned at secondary school, for instance, these weren't skills which we then set aside as soon as we left. Rather, these were supposed to cultivate the individual and his or her skills. Lent is much the same. It's an education in prayer. It's an education in devotion and in all these sort of good habits. And the idea is that we take those good habits on to ordinary life, ordinary time, even in the liturgy of the church. That's precisely what the goal is.
Amen.
There were some things in school that I forgot. I don't remember anything.
Can't remember where they were.
From home ec.
Did you see the I saw an article posted a few different pages about the Lenten practices of the Middle Ages, as kind of described by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it makes it, you kind of realise how much more severe it was back then. Mm-hmm. I can't remember all the details, but it was things like Ash Wednesday and Good Friday were called black fasts, and so you didn't eat anything at all. Mm-hmm. And it was from like the previous evening to the next morning, and then like the weekdays during Lent, which isn't a Friday, excluding Fridays, would be you wouldn't eat at all until 3 o'clock, because it was the hour our Lord died, and then you would eat after that. And obviously on Friday there'd be that, but there'd also be extra kind of sanctions or, you know, things you have to obey. But the rules were quite complex, and this isn't just for the monks, this is for the kind of your average Joe in the Middle Ages.
And yeah, there are so many saints from that era as well. Perhaps makes you think that we could perhaps use that dose of severity with ourselves, at least, when it comes to cultivating healthy habits during Lent. Unfortunately, we live in a culture, I think, in the postmodern world, which is a culture of accepting that which is good enough as opposed to that which is best. And so if you can pass something with 5 marks out of 10, then that's absolutely fine, and you'll make it through to your next trial and in whatever context. Whereas I suppose in the spiritual life and as Catholics, we are called to seek out that which is best, not just that which is good enough or that which will do. It's something which is quite countercultural, really. We are called to seek out that which is best for us, for our spiritual lives. Lent is a tremendous opportunity to do that, and the lessons of the saints from centuries ago equally provide many a lesson and example for us today.
Because I was having a conversation with someone just last week about kind of Lent and stuff like that, and they weren't Catholic, they were making the point that, well, you know, it doesn't seem as severe as like Islam, and you think about Ramadan when you have to go through these really severe fasts for a long period of time, and they have the whole thing of like praying all these times during the day and stuff, and it's kind of frustrating because you think, well, that was like, we did that first, like we had the divine office, we had this idea of praying 7 times a day and once in the night, and the monastic orders and priests still do that. And obviously the Lenten fast used to be more severe, but they've just been kind of lax with time, and yet these other traditions seem to be, obviously they shouldn't be comparing them, but there seem to be a bit more severity around these sorts of actions in religions like Islam in comparison to
Catholicism. I think this is true, Connor, and it's up to us as individual Catholics to perhaps
kind of create that culture again.
Even in the office over the last few hours or so, a number of people asked a few questions about Lent, about Ash Wednesday. And of course they started with the usual question, what are you giving up? So I answered that question, but that was sort of followed up. So what's the point of Lent then, if you're just sort of giving a few things up? And of course we started speaking about prayer, almsgiving and so forth. And the response I got was, oh, that sounds an awful lot like Ramadan. And it's such a frustrating thing to hear. But the only way to correct these misconceptions of what Lent is and what Lent is supposed to be is by living out Lent, the Lenten calling, faithfully ourselves as individuals. That's the only way we can act as witnesses to Christ's own time in the desert and to Christ's message of salvation, no matter where we are.
And I guess that's why Catholic community is so important in these kind of, you know, all times, but even more in seasons like Lent, and having strong Catholic friendships, and you know, if you're blessed enough to have family members that are also you know, good Catholics, then it helps you kind of persevere in these kind of long periods of time of penance like Lent, when you have everyone around you kind of going around normal, you know, their normal lives, and you're trying to kind of struggle along with this. So yeah, blessed to have good Catholic friends.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Imam. I think it's important when we think about the desert, about the temptations, to think about or taking a lesson from that as well. And I think that, you know, you're talking about the, you know, the Catholics in the Middle Ages fasting till three. That's just a normal mm-hmm. weekday, and then they'd fast properly on a Friday and a Saturday probably as well, and then Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, all these kinds of things. You know, how much more prepared are they to have their life in order, and when there is temptation comes up, how much more prepared are they to face a temptation in any aspect of their life? A lot more than us, because of what they're able to give up, you know, and being, you know, having that kind of right order to themselves. So that there's a lesson in fasting. It's not just, you know, it's not just giving something up.
Mm-hmm. And it speaks volumes of the culture as well. You know, we've already said, you know, we need to build that culture as well. But the fact they were able to even have Lent where they were able to be as austere as they were with themselves speaks volumes of, you know, what the Catholic culture was like back in the day, because, you know, everyone was encouraging each other and everyone was, you know, able and willing to give up these things. Whereas now we don't really have that encouragement unless we, as you said, Connor, you know, have it from, if we're blessed enough to have, you know, close friends or family who are going to support us in that and be with us in those kind of those struggles. But yeah, we need to kind of lead to that kind of cultural change.
And that's not to say that I'm going to be fasting till three every day during Lent, which no. I'm not, but I think it's important that, you know, we've got an opportunity to build on what you do every Lent. Do you know what I mean? I think that your Lent should become a bit harder every year, you know, once you start off as a kid doing chocolate or crisps or whatever, but you have to add something to that.
It has to mature, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I think fasting in general within the church has kind of been, you know, it's lost a little bit. Like, people don't fast as often as they used to. When you think, just think about that, when our Lord speaks of fasting in the Gospels, he says, you know, and when you fast, not like if you fast. He's, you know, it's
taking for granted, isn't it?
Yeah, taking for granted that you will fast, so when you fast, do this. And yet, you know, for a lot of people, we don't fast often enough, including myself in that as well. You know, something we can try to pick back up again. Mm.
And we do need the support of the church in that. I mean, it's quite interesting in Scotland, you know, we don't have that compulsory fast from meat on Fridays. You know, originally when that was being brought in, you know, by the bishops that did that, they said, you know, we'll just replace that fast with something else. You know, you don't need to fast from meat, but you can fast from something else. But truthfully, does anyone fast from anything on any Friday in Scotland? Probably, I mean, if you do, well done, keep it up. But I mean, I don't certainly, because I know that I go in and out of spells of thinking, no, I'm going to do that meat Friday thing, and then it lasts maybe 2 weeks. But, you know, we need that support from the church, and we need that support from each other. So Lent is a time to kind of start that, I suppose. So here's to trying.
Mm. We're saying this at the very beginning, you were a couple of hours into Lent, and the next couple of episodes, we'll see. We'll just have like it's over. I'm giving up. When's Easter coming?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, that, like, you know, you need to realise that you will, you know, a lot of time you do fail. And it's important this Lent to pick it back up the very next day. Don't just let it slide. Do you know what I mean?
Pick up your damn cross.
Pick up your damn cross and keep going. I'm always, yeah, I've found Lent difficult the last few years. Always, you know, just in terms of, I don't know what it is. I think it is that kind of spiritual battle you have. I think it is, it ramps up a bit.
Mm. But I mean, that is why I think we need to be realistic as well with the things, because I remember, you know, if, maybe like 2 years ago, I was like really ambitious. I was like, right, meat, alcohol, sweets, snacks, everything, and inevitably I kind of gave it all up, just because I thought, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, if we have a plan, as you said earlier on, James, if we have a plan for Lent and, you know, how that's going to bring us on our spiritual life, and the plan for even just what we're going to be doing every day in terms of our prayer and all that, then we'll build. Mm-hmm. And mature.
I think we're almost, in a way, nowadays we're sort of preconditioned to not be able to aim for something which is further than a day away. So Lent is a 40-day event, slightly more than 40 days. It's something of a marathon, really. It's not a sprint. But we're almost sort of preconditioned by culture to aim for that which is immediately attainable. So it might be making X number of phone calls in your job in the office. It might be your next pay packet. It might be saving up however many paychecks in order to purchase yourself something nice. We're so accustomed to looking for goals which are immediately attainable. And Lent is something which is quite different. It really runs quite counter to that. It's not something which we're going to finish in the blink of an eye. It is something which is a little bit further away. But the church, like a teacher, exhorts us to mature in our spiritual life and to aim not just for that which is immediately attainable, but to aim for that which is perhaps a little bit further away, but more importantly, that which is above. And that's hopefully something which we can all take the opportunity to work on over the next few weeks.
And I mean, that's analogous to our lives in general, you know. I mean, the Catholic life is one that it's not a sprint, it's not one that we're going to attain what we're our goal immediately. It's something that we need to work our whole lives on. So, you know, Lent is that kind of a mini trial for, you know, growing to such an extent that, you know, we can please God enter the kingdom of heaven.
So good luck, everyone. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah. I suppose in a good way, it's a good way to check yourself out. See how you do this Lent, and then probably scale up, and then that's how you're doing in life.
Give yourselves 2 stars.
I think.
Well, amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
If you've not got a plan, then get one. Start.
Pick up your damn cross.
Yeah, pick up your damn cross. Head into the desert. Get tempted.
Say no.
Okay. Any showers?
Okay.
Okay. What's that?
We don't really have any showers. I don't know. Nobody's said to me anyway.
No, we didn't. Did we? With a couple of emails, but they weren't really, they weren't shouts, they were ones not been, that we should respond to.
Yeah, we've not been responding to emails over a wee break, we apologise, so we're going to get back into that soon.
Apologies for, I did the editing in the last podcast, so like the intro was like 2 minutes long instead of 30 seconds.
And it just kind of stopped, and then we're like, hello there. Just keeping the suspense.
Yeah. I burst out laughing when I listened to it. I was like... Because I just kind of like listened just to see how it was. I was like, that's quite long, you know. And it just kept going. I mean, to be fair, it reminded me how much I enjoy our intro music. It's actually really good.
It's good to
enjoy it. That's why I put it in there. It's a wee treat for you.
That's good. I'm not going to listen to it during Lent. Just to notify myself. So I can't edit, sorry. For Lent.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving up the editing for Lent.
So, thanks for tuning in to episode 32 of An Introduction to the Catholic Life. We've been chatting about Lent. Hope you've enjoyed the chat and hope you've got something useful out of that. If you've got any ideas for what you'd like to hear us speak about, then please do get in touch. You can message us on any of our social media platforms.
And fire away.
And we will respond this time. Mm-hmm. Well, we have been responding. but just not immediately. Digitally as well.
I don't think any of us have the emails to our phone, so I think we just have to actually go on a computer and log on to the email to check, and we don't do that on our phone. But we'll do it now when we're back.
Well,
so cheers everyone.
Here's to the cup, the mic and the cross. What's that?
What's that?
What's that?
A baby is born. What's that?